pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Today's sponsor is Big Data Center. We do appreciate you listening. 251-343-0106 is the text line. If you want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me. Obviously, I was serious about the Big Data Center being a sponsor, but maybe some of you would believe that. Coming up on the program, Scott Stadhagen, the Alabama Republican Party chairman. That's in about a half hour, so please stay tuned for that. Recapping the news, Todd Blanche is going through his confirmation hearings before the Senate Judiciary Committee. I see a lot of time with Katie Britt right now answering questions. It's pretty much, I guess, assumed at this point he's going to be confirmed or he wouldn't be at this stage of the process. You got that. You got a few other things going on. Iran, U.S. hostilities have once again are underway. So that's, you know, what will that do? What does that mean to the economy, the price of gas, price of oil right now, $78 a barrel is trending. It's trending down from where it was, but it's higher. We still need to get down about 10 bucks or so to get to that sweet spot. But, you know, the markets believe something, but I don't know if the markets are reliable. This is a volatile situation. And, you know, like everything just kind of changes on a day-to-day basis. So these guys who trade oil probably don't know any more than you and I know, apparently. But the markets are, long-term, they're in a favorable direction. Short-term, not really the best. Let's see here. What else we got? Some local stuff, and this is what's triggered this conversation about data centers. Tommy Tuberville is essentially saying we're going to do data centers in a speech to the Alabama sheriffs earlier this week. He said some other interesting things, talking about corrections, wants to hire more state troopers. So, you know, Tuberville's coming. He's got to be governor. That's just whether you believe he lives here or not. The fix is in, guys. I hate to tell you this, but that's the way it seems to me. Let's see. Anything else of note here? Not particularly. Daylight savings time. The House passed a bill to make daylight savings time permanent. It seems like it's an 80-20 issue. Interesting to hear any pushback. I'm sure there are people who like the status quo, but you tell me what you think. Once again, text line 251-343-0106. B. Dark, Jeff, Tommy Tuberville keeps running his arrogant mouth, and before he gets in, Jones might have a chance. Probably not. Unnamed texter, good morning, Jeff. The reason the citizens across the country are fighting data centers revolves around losing civil liberty. They do not want to live in a surveillance state with social credit score dictating how they live. We already have flock cameras and tag readers, and the 2027 cars are going to be used facial recognition and AI to decide if you could drive a vehicle that you own. It's all about not wanting Big Brother watching us. Which is, unfortunately, it's coming, though. I mean, it's just the world we live in. You're leaving a digital footprint right now by sending me that text. It's just, I understand the concerns about your civil liberties, but it's the reality we're going to live in. Now, I think, you know, there's some things that can be done to stop these cameras and this technology from being used. We can pass laws, and you vote for these people to do such. Monty, data centers also use natural gas generators that power UPSs that have redundancy systems to provide prime power. I'm in the generator business, so I know these exist. Was this going to good or bad on the utilities? Is it going to make our natural gas prices go up? Mike, what do you think the chances are Mackie just didn't know about a Magic City Academy faculty member was invited to the education board? I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's just incompetent, but I think it's more likely that this is just the culture war they foster, the culture they foster. Yes, catch the listeners up here. Somehow or another, the textbook committee, and there's multiple textbook committees. It's a mess. There's no like real rhyme or reason here. Nothing in statute. This shows that there's the way they're doing it is legal, but they're doing it this way. So you have these textbook committees, and they approve the textbooks that are used in public schools, and they are supposed to review them and talk about them and deliberate and okay them for use in your public schools. So we have come to find out, I guess they were making this like a thing they were promoting, that someone from the Magic City Acceptance Academy had got an appointment to the textbook committee. And kind of like, whoa, how did this happen? So, to forgive me, the details are a little scarce. The way you get on this committee, I think either you're appointed and you're either confirmed by the state senate or the school board. Well, none of this happened. So this Magic City Acceptance Academy faculty member who presumably holds these views that are kind of antithetical to where we are as in the state right now, got on this textbook committee. You're like, well, how does this happen? And we went round and round with the Department of Education. And then finally, Eric Mackey, the state school superintendent, who was on vacation up until yesterday, I think, said, oh, my bad. I shouldn't have sent that out. She's not on the textbook committee. So it is entirely possible that's just the way they do business. Oh, no one's going to notice. No one's going to care. It's some random textbook committee buried under seven layers of bureaucracy. No one's ever going to know. And then come to find out, well, we found out and started asking questions. Oh, our bad. But I don't know. I don't know what happened there. Moz, why can't each data center have its own nuclear reactor to create its own power? Would it be a need for water to keep the reactor cool? If a small reactor could produce a 1,100-foot-long, 100,000-ton ship with 4,500 people aboard, why not power a data center? You just need so many of them. Fire Dog writes that hospitals use gas generators as backups. Hospitals create a lot of biomedical pollution. Hospitals are bad. Today's Jet Poor Show brought to you by the letter D. D is for data center. D is for dumb people protesting the data centers. The letter D. Thank you for that, Fire Dog. No, my question is, and you know, people will text me and say they just don't want it, but there's no real good sound reasoning here. It's just that we don't want it in a data center in our neighborhood. So we should pass a law or an ordinance telling the data center it can't be built there. Now, city of Somerville up in North Alabama did this. They put a moratorium, which effectively killed the data center. But the question is this, where you are in a place that doesn't have that. If you're in a corporated area, you're at the whims of the local government. County government's different. And I like the Mobile County Commission saying, well, we just don't have the power to tell them no. Okay, so it's like, it's a symbol of this populism, as Joey said. And look, here's the other thing. If people don't want a data center, and they can organize and they can pass some kind of referendum or law saying no to it, then by all means, that's our system. Well, what I would like to know is why. And so far, I've gotten a lot of discussion about it being, well, we just don't want the product of the data center. We don't want big surveillance state. But I feel like the government, if they wanted to build data centers, they just would. They don't have to ask your permission. That they would just do it. A lot of these data centers are private sector, private enterprise. And they own property. And as long as they're within the legal limits of the law, then we're going to pass a new law telling them they can't build. Okay. What's next? That old car you got out on blocks in your front yard's got to come down. The way you live. I mean, you're really opening the door for a lot of things when it comes to private property rights if you go down this path. Unnamed texter Jeff, the Big Talk on Facebook has been about the Orange Beach mayor. What do you know on that situation that's going on with him? It's not really interesting to me. I think most people at Orange Beach are kind of aware of, you know, Tony Kennon may have some issues, but they like him. He's their guy. Some of it, I just getting excited because someone filed a lawsuit is, you know, anybody can file a lawsuit. But the people spoke a year ago. They said, hey, we want this guy as our mayor, and it wasn't even close. And I thought Jeff Boyd was a very good candidate. So it's something that I try to keep up with, but there's so much of this noise about it on Facebook, and I just don't know what's reliable and what isn't. Some of it's this, that people who are really pushing this stuff have an axe to grind with him. They just don't like him. So I don't know. I'm not sure what to make of that situation. It can't go on forever. You can't survive and thrive with this dark cloud of suspicion over you. So maybe that's a discussion that needs to be had, but my take on it, I just don't know. Let's keep going here. All the people scream about data centers like they're not on Facebook or Google every 15 minutes, using ChatGPT to answer questions so they can argue online, driving brand new cars with more technology on them than their $15 iPhone. Hypocritical is all they are. That from Pat. Jason, why don't they just build the data centers on PCI land and we have no say in it? I think that would have to be an arrangement with the tribal government. One more text here. The issues that I've seen with data centers are that they produce a persistent humming sound and the drop in water pressure in the surrounding areas. So can you compensate for that? Can you do something about the humming sound, and can you ensure that there's no drop in water pressure? If you overcome that, is it possible to live alongside in peace and harmony with a data center? Is it possible? You can have stipulations and say you have to do this, but if you want to build here, you can. But where I get a little sideways is telling you just can't build here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I can't get to sleep at night. The parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years. Probably never made a single person cold. But I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times. Somebody take me home.
Welcome back to the Jeff Horst Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning, 251-343-0106. Programming note coming up here in just a half hour, or in a few minutes, I should say. Scott Stadig, the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, Tomorrow on the show, wait for it, Tommy Tuberville will be with us. He'll join us in the 9:30 block. April Marie Fogle, because you never could have enough April Marie Fogle on FM Talk 106.5. And then rounding it out in 11:30 block, Catherine Robertson, who's a Republican nominee for Attorney General, will be with us. So make sure you stay or tune in for that. Stay tuned for StatHagen here in just a moment. Monty, the only issue I have with data centers is the AI and how it dumps down people. They don't have any motivation to learn when you could Google everything. I find Google to be very addictive for some people. And AI, just having all this right at your fingertips. It's never my like immediate go-to thing. Like, you know, what time is the Super Bowl or whatever? Sure. But if it's like, how do I fix something on my car, or, you know, I like to just really kind of evaluate things as they come. Plus, I don't really trust a lot of the information online. Number one, there's like a political bias to it. They like tell you to trans your kids or something. But then there's just a lot of unreliable sources. There's a lot of things that show up on the internet that aren't really true. They do dumb people down, I guess. But there's other things where they perform tasks that we have relied on unskilled labor to do that are now things you could do without having to go through all of that calorie burning. So some of it's like a benefit to society. Okay, it's going to put people out of work, but it's just creative destruction that those people who are working in a place with data entry or whatever, coding or things that can be done by an AI bot, they can do other things that are productive. And we typically find places for this work. You're never going to stop, like, I mean, maybe you'll have robots or something someday performing some of the work. But generally speaking, it's going to make your life easier. What if you had artificial intelligence to, like, organize your coat rack or your coat closet, or, you know, like, the things that we have to do that we have to take time out, clean your garage, whatever, that are just very tedious and very labor intensive. Well, then suddenly we're at a place in society where somebody will, they can do that. They can offer you options. They can show you what your house is going to look like if you paint it a certain color. Or, you know, the AI phenomenon, there are some drawbacks, but there are a lot of positives to it that we don't really talk about. We just talk about the bad. No, yeah, it's all surveillance state, police state stuff. It's just all about government control. I think that's such a small fraction of it. Ben, I hear data centers have electrolytes. Seen Idiocracy, where they were giving Gatorade to the plants and they couldn't figure out why they couldn't grow plants. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the show. That's how you do so. But sorry, this show got hijacked by Big Data Center today. But I could go either way on it. If you don't want it in your area and you have self-governance, then so be it. But then how do we get to not wanting it? What are the drawbacks here? And they're all over the place. And we're okay. It's just like with the solar farms. Well, you know, 10 minutes away, they're manufacturing aluminum. And that's, you know, there's a double standard here when it comes to the environmental footprint, that we don't put up these roadblocks for some things, but we will for others. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Living on the road, my friend, gonna keep you free and clean.
Counting flowers on the wall, that don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with the deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do. It's good to see
Welcome
you.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 1065-251-343-0106. Time permitting, we'll get to more of your text before the conclusion of today's broadcast. Joining us now, he is the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. Always my pleasure to bring on State Representative Scott Stadthagen. Representative, good morning. How are you?
I am well, Jeff. Thanks for having me on, man. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for making time for us. Well, so a funny thing
happened.
Funny thing happened Friday night. Tabitha Eisner, she is the vice chairwoman of the Alabama Democratic Party. She was telling her flock to vote in the Republican primary. And, you know, we've been told by numerous lawmakers, policymakers, et cetera, this isn't a thing. There's no... This is not really something we need to be worried about. We don't need to pass a law here to keep this from happening. This is a solution looking for a problem. Well, I mean, she showed right then and there that, you know, the organized structure of the Democratic Party is telling people to vote Republican primaries, that it is indeed something that happens.
Yeah, you know, I'm extremely excited that she revealed her playbook to us, to be honest. But yeah, we've been preaching this sermon for a while, and it's time to pass legislation to finish Democrats for participating in our primary elections. I think a lot of people really get confused on our primary elections and what they're actually for. They're for the parties to pick their nominees for the general election. And, you know, just like with the Iron Bowl, if Auburn went up to Alabama a week before and was able to pick their starting quarterback for the Iron Bowl, it would give them a huge advantage. That's the same in this situation. You know, it's just not right.
It's just not right, but there's been a real resistance to it. And, I think other states do it. They do it well. You know, in Alabama, the party is sort of a check on the quality of the candidate. We had a big shift in Alabama. We went from a Democrat state to a Republican state. And along the way, there were people who were, you know, bona fide Democrats decided, well, I can't win as a Democrat anymore. I'm just going to change to a new party. We had to protect against that. But now, you know, we got to have a system that kind of keeps that integrity, that system in place, but also keeps these Democrat voters who are bona fide woke liberals from voting in for a candidate that Republicans will have represented them on the ballot in November.
You're exactly right. You know, just think about some of the policies that the Democratic Party stands for and the thought of them deciding our candidates. You know, they're okay with literally committing murder on a child with abortion. They're okay with men going to the bathrooms with your daughters, you know, in a restaurant. They're okay with indoctrinating your kids in school with their ideology that literally is so far from the Bible, it's not even funny. That's the kind of stuff we've got to stop participating in our elections. And Republicans hold true to their values and, you know, how they feel moving forward. I don't know. There's not many Republicans that actually say, I want this kind of Democrat vote in our primary, and we've got to put a stop to it.
Well, it's just that people, if you think that these are policies or that everything you just said about the Democratic Party are things that are staples of the government you want, you have the opportunity to vote on that. You just got to do it in your own party. And clearly, yes, the problem for these guys is, well, no one's buying what you're selling. So they're going to try to, try to taint, dilute the conservative stripes of the Republican Party.
Yeah, it's smoke and mirrors, man. You know, it's smoke and mirrors of why they should have the right and the opportunity. And the answer is no, you should not. If you are a Democrat and you hold their policy near and dear to your heart, you have no business selecting our warrior for the general election. That is the primary, that is the Republican's job and the Republican voters' decision to pick who represents them in that general election against the Democrats. They have used it as a tool. There is no, I mean, in this these elections, really, they don't have anybody to vote for. So they're talking about jumping in ours and supporting, you know, they're not going to pick our best candidate. They're going to pick the worst one. So they have a better shot in the general. And that's why we need to close primaries.
Yeah, but I think it shows up in other places, too, especially if you don't have a Democrat on the ballot. I mean, the Democrat Party in the state barely functions, and you know, that's a discussion for them. I get it, but that they're just they got to get their own house in order. They could do all this, but they're coming over here, and what it does, and we see this all throughout state government, we see it in federal government, is it dilutes the conservative credentials of the party, and it makes it a more a moderate, because the state's, this isn't a moderate Republican state. That's not a reflection of the public here. I think it disenfranchises Republican voters, or it could have the similar effect on the other side.
Yeah, I think honestly, Jeff, I think this is going to fire our base up. I think the chatter is going around within our party members from that post that their vice chair sent out, and they're only starting to see the light, and they've got to start speaking up. And we've got to get this closed. I mean, that's just, at the end of the day, we've got to shut down the primaries.
What needs to happen? So it came closer than it ever had last year with the House getting something done, getting the Senate there too. It might be a little tricky, but that to me is something you got to try again in 2027 on.
Absolutely. And I promise you, you have my word, I will be pushing every effort to get that legislation to Coach's desk to be signed into law.
Yeah, so, you know, the criticisms here that we wind up with a Guy Hunt-type candidate or something, I mean, that was a different time in Alabama. Now you have more people, more Republicans, let's say, and I think more educated Republicans. Nothing will really slip through the cracks like that again. But even if it did, that's the will of the voters, right?
You're exactly right. You know, the citizens of Alabama have the right to choose who they want in office, period. And that's the beauty of living in America. We, you know, 250th celebration, we're talking about how great it is and how much of an honor it is to grow up in a free country and be able to pick the people who run our government. And that is exactly right.
Yeah, just that the parties are different because they're private entities. They're not part of the government.
Yes.
This is a system we have. We could change the system, but that's not the discussion we're having. Does the Republican,
right.
Should the Republican Party, should the Democrat Party be able to determine who votes and determines who represents, who carries the banner of this private entity on election day?
That's it, man. I mean, it's not confusing. It's not hard to understand. It is picking your team against the other team for the general election. It is that simple.
Yeah. The pushback against it, I don't, it doesn't, I'm not really there on it. I don't really buy it, but there's just this fear, I guess, that you're going to turn away some voters who don't want to declare an allegiance to a party. And that's like I said, the system we have. You need to have some kind of affiliation or some kind of loyalty to the Republican Party if you're picking who's going to be the Republican candidate.
I absolutely agree with that statement. Well, once again, we're picking our team for the general election, and the Republican voters are picking who they want to represent them in our government.
Yeah. So the drawbacks they're confusing to me, but we are very persistent with them. Do you think that is going to be, I mean, do you have like a counter to that if when this comes up again?
I am taking notes throughout since session ended last year. And I think, you know, we have to educate, number one, a lot of citizens, you know, just like with the Supreme Court ruling that they did for Alabama and all the women of our country, you know, supporting them in women athletics. I mean, that's a piece of legislation we passed 4 years ago. But if you ask any Republican if they support that, they're going to say yes.
Well,
you ask any Democrat, they're going to say no because they voted against it. Every Democrat voted against it. So that is the message. You know, we need people like-minded within our party to, number one, represent our party in our government if we have the supermajority. If the Democrats outvote us, they outvote us. But if we pick our candidate, that should be our decision. It should not be the Democrats or no one else's. The Republican voters pick their members to represent them.
Yeah, just to be clear, you're not telling anybody they can't vote. You tell them you can't vote in our primary. They can go vote in their own primary, or they can opt to do something else. But if you want to vote,
it's almost like they were confused with a general election and the primary election. Some of those arguments from the last session,
but they're like, conflating them, right? They're not being honest here. They're trying to make it sound like, hey, Republicans are telling you that you can't vote, and that's not at all what's going on here.
Correct. I mean, you're picking your team, man. That is as simple as it gets. We're picking our team for the general election, and you can vote for whoever you want to in the general election. No problem with that.
Joined by Alabama Republican Party Chairman Scott Stadhagen here on the show. Hey, let's get this in. You got a big event coming up here at the end of the month.
Talk a little bit
about that.
Yeah, man. So July 31st in Montgomery, Alabama, at the Renaissance Hotel, we've got ALGOP's 250th celebration. It's basically our summer dinner. Our staff and Annie, who's over our events coordinator, she has been working her tail off. She's next to me right now, actually plugging in, going over everything. So we are super excited. We've got Congressman Tim Burchett from Tennessee, absolute star. He's a hoot. We got Congressman Brandon Gill, who is from Texas. And if you have not heard these individuals on social media just destroy people in committees, I would recommend do so before the dinner. We got Brylan Hollihan, who is going to, we're going to literally start our Project Future Generation. We got Pastor Travis Johnson that is going to be a part of the program from y'all's neck of the woods. And then we got Coach Bruce Pearl. And we've got Senator Katie Britt. And the main highlight of the event is going to be our future governor of the state of Alabama, Coach Tuberville.
This event could really like set a marker, let's say, because we're going to have a change once these elections are said and done on November 3rd. You're going to have a new state government, and you could get really a sense of what direction the state's going in from that.
Yes, absolutely, Jeff. And I will tell you this, this next quadrennium is going to be so special and something that the Republican voters have never seen before. You're fixing to see the Republican Party, the governor's office, the Senate, and the House all work together, moving the state forward on strong Republican conservative policy, working as a team like never before. And I cannot express how excited I am for the future of Alabama.
Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of times in the past, and I've been going to these things for almost 20 years now, but you know, the Republican Party, they stake out a position on a lot of things, and then it sort of dies there. But you feel like that there's an opportunity here to actually have a meaningful impact on policy.
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, Republicans, we pass a lot of resolutions within our party. But at the end of the day, resolutions are just statements. We're going to turn those resolutions into legislation and have a Republican package of bills that, you know, the governor, pro tem, and the speaker are going to help get across the finish line. And once Governor Tuberville signs those into law, we're going to have one of the biggest celebrations the Republican Party has ever seen in Montgomery, Alabama, the Capitol. And I'm looking forward to it, man. We've got a lot of excitement in our party for the future and all the hard work that we are trying to do. We're going to be better tomorrow than we are today. That's our mindset every single day we come in the office. And just can't wait for the future, man. Start checking boxes.
And one more thing, we'll get you out of here on this. Talk a little bit about the upcoming session and, you know, new governor. It's going to be in new state house, so a new environment. It feels like it's definitely going to be different than what we've seen probably the last decade or so.
It definitely is. You know, we've seen coaches' leadership in D.C. and him holding the line strong on military appointments. And so we know he's not afraid to stand strong on core issues that mean a lot to him. And Kay wasn't either. I'm not trying to say that she was, by no means. But I will say I think coach is a different form of leadership. It's going to be different in the Capitol. You know, Pro Tem Gudger and Speaker Ledbetter, they're veterans in their roles coming in now. I think they work well together. I think it's just all the new dynamics. I can't wait to see kind of the layout and the groove that we're going to be in moving forward and how we all work together. I think it will be something we've never seen. And I'm excited about the new State House. I'm more excited about not getting a sinus infection on the first day of session, to be honest. Every year, man, like I get a serious sinus infection as soon as I step into that old daggum chamber, and it's just covered in mold and everybody gets sick. And so that's probably the biggest thing I'm looking forward to be honest, is just not getting sick the first week of session.
Hey, Chairman, last time, folks want to find out more about the party. Where can they look?
Social media is probably the easiest. Everybody's got a cell phone. You got Facebook. You've got Twitter. You've got Instagram. Just go to our page, Alabama Republican Party. On this event, I promise you, you are not going to want to miss this event. I mean, don't be that guy Saturday thinking, I really wish I would have took the time and went to that and support our Republicans. But, just go to our social medias. You can click on the link. You can order just one ticket. You get two tickets, or you can call our office and become a sponsor if you want to do that as well.
All right. Scott Stedhagen, ladies and gentlemen. Chairman, we appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day, Jeff.
All right. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
They still smell the powder burning, and they probably always will. And on the old town square, under the barbershop pole, they set me up in the chair.
The old school ways I repair up here. We got rebel flags flying and Budweiser beer. Plenty of snow.
To the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on what's left of this Wednesday morning. Come up on tomorrow's show, Tommy Tuberville, our senior United States Senator and likely soon to be governor, will be with us. Also, April Murray Fogle from 1819 News and Catherine Robertson, who is the Republican nominee for Attorney General. So please make sure that you tune in for that. Hey Siri, text message FM Talk, but plants need electrolytes. But plants need electrolytes. That from Jay Bird. And one more here, Dirt Digger. AI is not as good as the Jeff Poor Show. You get it done. Thank you, Dirt Digger. You're very, very kind. Coming up here shortly, Midday Mobile. Sean, what you got?
I'm just impressed. Jay Bird's homage to Idiocracy, the fantastic film Idiocracy, that seemed like a fantasy movie. And then as time moves on, it seems more like a documentary to me.
It does. It does. and it was all done in jest, but here we are.
Yeah, exactly. Coming up in just a little bit, Cameron Smith joins me. We'll talk about some of probably the biggest story in Washington right now, it really just internationally. You know which one that is, the House passing the daylight saving time reform. So we'll talk about what big standard time wants. You know, the big standard time lobby out there that's pushing against the permanent.
Yeah. Is that I don't know.
Wouldn't it be funny to know who they are? If we could only keep it the way it is, we'll make gazillion
energy
dollars.
Drinks or something? I don't know.
And to be honest, what the arguments against it would be, like in some areas of the country, sunrise wouldn't happen till 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning or something like that. For some people, that's just fine. I mean, you'd rather drive to work in the dark than drive home in the dark. So,
Yeah, that was one, like, well, you know, school buses don't
school
need
kids.
To, kids
for the
don't
children.
Need to be, yeah, I just don't know that I buy that anymore.
So, yeah, well, and, you know, there are some states already that don't, like, I know it changed. I remember I told stories about going to Indiana. One of my old roommates in Alabama was family lived all over in the Navy, but they were at Crane Missile Place in Indiana, and they lived up there on a farm, and we'd get up to go hunting in the morning, and it was so nice because it was like, we have to get up to like 7 to go, because they didn't, I think they switched in 06. They now do the time change, but Arizona still doesn't. Hawaii makes sense because they're close to the equator, but you know, Arizona, it's not done it. So there are some states that have done their own thing in the past. So we'll see what happens.
It's just kind of like, why hasn't Alabama done this?
We dare defend our rights to obey the feds. I'm sorry. We do it.
Why can't we?
I don't know. It seems like that. You know,
you
that's
just crossed the line there. Yeah.
I don't know. But it's, we'll talk about what's happened with Iran as well. Also, Erica Thomas joins me at about 12:35. A story we've been, I said, danced around it yesterday again with the sheriff. And it's this change coming to repeat violent offenders. And this is something that D.A. Blackwood talked about. She and I will talk about that as well. And then in hour number two, Mobile County Commissioner Randall DeWitt joins me for a big conversation. So stay tuned for that.
All right, y'all stay tuned for Midday Mobile. That's coming up here shortly. As for me, that's it. I will try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis, I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.